96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Usually when we talk about diabetes, we're talking about adults, but 200,000 people younger than 20 years old have diabetes. November is American Diabetes Month, so we're asking, how does juvenile diabetes differ from adult diabetes? Where does it come from, and how is it treated? My guests are Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, director of the Diabetes Treatment Center at Howard University Hospital and the Howard University Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Medicine, Matt Peterson with the American Diabetes Association, and Maya Fisher. She's 16 years old. She has type 1 diabetes. She is also my daughter. The lines are open. Give me a call if you have questions or comments about this at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Thank you all for joining me. Let me go straight to, and also, hi, sweetie. Maya, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, sweetie. Good to hear from you. Dr. Bland, what is the difference between juvenile diabetes and adult diabetes? And we know there's type 1 and type 2. Can you kind of give us put it in a nutshell for us?
Okay. Well, juvenile diabetes, also known as type 1 diabetes, tends to occur in younger individuals, usually under the age of 40 years of age, but primarily in children under the age of 20. This type of diabetes is the form where your body does not produce insulin. Your immune system has attacked the cells that produce insulin in the pancreas. And with this type of diabetes, you must take insulin for survival. As compared to type 2 or the adult onset diabetes, this type of diabetes occurs generally in older individuals. They tend to be overweight. They tend to have a strong family history of diabetes, and their bodies do produce insulin, but the insulin is not recognized by them.
Do children get type 2 diabetes?
Yes, they do. Generally, that is brought on by obesity, just like it is in adults. And children who get type 2 diabetes often have a positive family history, a strong family history of other adults in their family having type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Peterson, are you, with your organization, seeing a growth in type 2 diabetes among young people? And to what, if so, what do you attribute that?
We certainly are. I think it's important to say that type 1 diabetes is still the predominant form of diabetes in young people. For a number of years now, we've been seeing more type 2 in kids, but I wouldn't want to lose sight of the fact that that the most common thing is still type 1. But that growth in type 2 is happening, as Dr. Bland said. It's usually associated with obesity and inactivity. But to put it in perspective, nationwide we're seeing about 20,000 cases, new cases of type 1 diabetes in youth each year, and about 5,000 new cases of type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Both of those seem to be growing for reasons we don't understand. The type 1 is growing, and for reasons we understand a little better, the type 2 is also growing.
Dealing with type 1 diabetes, obviously difficult for parents, but also for the young people. Maya, can you briefly explain what your day is like? You know, once you get up in the morning and you have to, you know, begin to focus on, you know, your pump and the blood and making sure that you have a healthy day. What do you do?
Well, the first thing that I do is when I first get up in the morning, I wash up like any normal person. And before I eat my breakfast, I have to check my blood sugar to make sure it's between my blood sugar range. Like, my blood sugar range is between 70 and 150, so I have to make sure it's in between there. And after I check my blood sugar, I make sure I get my insulin through this remote that's connected to my diabetic pump. And I put in my amount of carbs in, and it shows my number again to make sure it's the right number. and it calculates the amount of insulin that it gives me, and it gives me insulin as I wait, and then I have to eat. Mm-hmm. That's my daily morning routine, and then 2 hours later, I have to check again because my pump is constantly giving me insulin, and if I stop checking, I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
my daily morning routine.
Now, what's school like? And tell us about the pump, because not everybody really understands. I mean, is it big? Is it small? And where is it on you? Because you carry it with you all day.
Well, the pump is, I was told when I first had it, that it is closer to the pancreas, the closest thing that we have to the pancreas so far. And it gives me my insulin every day, daily. And I carry it around, and it's usually connected to either the fat parts of my thigh or parts of my stomach. And I have to change it every 2 to 3 days, my doctor told me. And I also have to check every 2 hours to make sure it's giving me insulin, giving me the right amount of insulin. Because if I don't check, I can't tell if I'm too high or too low, because it ranges in between whether it gives me enough insulin. But I have to carry, and it has to be on me every day.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk more about that, too, some of the ups and the downs of, you know, dealing with type 1 diabetes, and also about young people dealing with type 2 diabetes. If you have a question or comment about this, give us a call. We're going to take a break at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We're talking about juvenile diabetes. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about juvenile diabetes tonight with Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, Director of the Diabetes Treatment Center at Howard University, Matt Peterson with the American Diabetes Association, and Maya Fisher. She's 16 years old. She has type 1 diabetes. She is my daughter. Lines are open if you have any comments or questions at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Let's go to Kate in Germantown. Kate, you have adult diabetes, correct?
Right.
And what's your question or comment?
So I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
My family, my uncle, he's having type 2 diabetes back home, and it's really bad. He has a wound on his toe, and
mm-hmm.
it has been really, really bad. So I think through that and through the stress that has put into our family, I got scared and I panicked. I told my doctor that I don't want to take any medication.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm really trying to lose weight. I've changed my diet. I'm really trying. But then now, after listening, I really don't know whether I made the right decision.
Dr. Bland, can you help her with that?
Well, it's important. Diet and exercise is extremely important in terms of managing diabetes. But depending on what your blood sugars are, and you should be checking that, you should be keeping your blood sugars between 70 and 120 before you eat, and no higher than 180 2 hours after you eat. So I'm not sure if you're checking your blood sugars. If you
are, I'm not.
Okay. Well, number one, you should check them to make sure that what you're doing is keeping your blood sugars in the target range. Also, you need to speak with your doctor about checking your A1C. That's that blood test that we determine how well your diabetes is controlled. It gives us an average of what your blood sugar has been over the last 3 months. Ideally, we would like your A1C to be less than 7%. Do you know what your A1C is?
No. I think after I had all that, I did not really not care, but I didn't want to know. I think I was too scared to even admit the reality.
Okay. Well, that's important. So I would recommend that you go back to your doctor, ask those questions, have them do the blood test. If you do not have a blood glucose meter, have your doctor prescribe one so you can begin checking and getting your diabetes in control. It's important because you do not want to have the complications, you know, the amputations, the blindness, and the dialysis from uncontrolled diabetes.
Okay. Well, Kate, good health to you, and thank you so much for giving us a call. Real quick, before I go to a break, Mr. Peterson, what is the association, the American Diabetes Association, recommending as it relates to children in type 2 diabetes to make sure that it does not present with them?
Well, for all people at risk for diabetes, which is a whole lot of adults and also a lot of kids, we have long recommended, and certainly as a new really call to action for people to get tested if they're at risk, particularly if you're adults. Kids who are at risk, same thing, they need to get tested. And the prevention message for everyone with diabetes are the healthy living messages that we all pretty well know, to eat better, to get more physical activity, and for most Americans, certainly for Americans who are overweight, to lose some weight. It seems like a simple message, and it's not easy. We don't pretend that it's easy for anyone to lose some weight, but it's what makes a big difference. And then moving on, if you have diabetes, really taking care of it. Just as Dr. Bland said with the caller, you know, it's very tempting, and it's very understandable for people just not want to deal with it, but there's a big sense of relief when you finally confront it and you do take care of it, and you'll be much healthier as a result.
Well, if you're on the phone, please hang on. Don't hang up, Leslie Lamont. We will talk to you next. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation about juvenile diabetes. What is it? How is it treated? How do you know if it's an issue for your child? Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few seconds.